May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, I will admit it. I'm going to admit it. If I am reading a book and I get to a point in the plot where it gets a little bit too intense, I skip ahead. I look to see what's going to happen. I'll look to see how things are going to turn out before maybe I turn back because, well, maybe I don't want to turn back. Maybe now I already know what's... That's why I like today also to use the DVR at home, to use on demand and then have the remote right there in my hand because then I can just skip over all the bad parts. I can skip over all the sad parts. I can skip over all the boring stuff. I can skip over all the stuff that I can't bear to watch and see how it's going to end. Don't you wish life came with one of these? Sometimes now we try to close our eyes. We try to close our eyes, everything that is happening to us and around us. We try and close our eyes to all the drastic market swings. We try and close our eyes to the violence that's in our streets, to the division that is in our country, to the division and the lack of civility that we see amongst our leaders in the church too, as well as in the state. We try and close our eyes maybe to the march that is taking place on the borders of our country, to the pain, the very real pain of some of the folks who are in that caravan that is coming towards our border, people who really have serious needs, or to the fact that we quite truthfully know, we don't necessarily know who, but we do know that there are people who are exploiting that trek north. We know that there are people who are hiding in the midst of that, who have bad intentions, either for the people that they are going along together with, pretending that they are maybe part of their family, but really planning to exploit them when they get here. Or we know that there are just people who plan to get here and to do things that, quite truthfully, scare the living daylights out of us. What's happening? What's happening to us as a people? What's happening to us as a nation? Are we even sometimes acting as a nation? What is happening to the world that is around us? We might even go to bed. I know I've gone to bed on many a night watching the news, maybe on election night, saying, "Wake me up in the morning and tell me how it is." We can't bear to watch it. But the reality is that life doesn't come with one of these. The reality is that you can check out for a while, you can close your eyes and go to sleep, but when you wake up in the morning, all of your problems will still be there. You can't turn life off. You cannot just skip ahead. We cannot just open a book and flip through the pages and see what's going to happen in the end. Or can we? A quick read of Daniel will give us a window into a nation that is going topsy-turvy just as much as our nation. In fact, this nation, God's people, is lying in ruins. God's people have been taken off into exile. They are spoils of war. And the best and the brightest of those folks have been coerced in serving a foreign nation, a foreign power, a foreign king in a strange place, surrounded by all kinds of a foreign culture and thousands of miles away from home. And that was only the half of it. If we just go back a couple of chapters into Daniel and look into like chapter 9 and 10 and we start picking up reading there, the verses that I just read from Daniel chapter 12 follow on a long retelling of the past and also a foretelling of things that were to come that gives us a bird's eye view of all the things that are happening in history. Of one empire after another empire after another empire sweeping over each other, where leaders are abusing their power in order to take from this person and that person, abusing their power and acting as they please, all at the expense of other people. a history of God's people that is now caught up in the midst of all of this chaos that is happening in the world and the chaos that they will continue to have to endure. Daniel says this, "And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time." Every generation thinks that, don't they? There will be a time such as never has been before. Every generation sits, especially as we get older, and we think, man, the world is getting, it has never, ever been so bad. When we look at the newspapers, when we are in the internet, when we're on TV, we wonder to ourselves, what in the world is happening? Where is love in the midst of all of this? Where is the people's concern for their neighbors? Do they even know who their neighbors are? What is happening to us? The Apostle Paul wrote that creation is groaning. That's what Paul wrote in his day. How it must be groaning even more now today. We think to ourselves, it can't get any worse. And then we turn on the TV, and by golly, it just got worse. It's a reality that confronts us every single day. But now Daniel is also given to see another reality. He's given to see a reality that he is actually charged to share with God's people who are feeling rather hopeless, who are overcome in the midst of all of this chaos. Daniel is charged to share with God's people a reality that is meant to encourage them, even though they are facing what they are. It's given to give them a confident hope. And the encouragement is this, that those who are wise in the midst of all of this, those who are wise will be delivered from this. In a world that seems to be spinning out of control, where lives of the faithful, God's people, are not just threatened, they're actually being taken out of this world. Sometimes being taken out of this world because they are God's people. In a world that is spinning out of control and where the faithful are not only threatened, but are being taken away, Daniel is given to see that there is still yet a sovereign God who is countering all of this, who is countering all of these worldly powers, who has his own army that is operating behind the scenes, who is carrying out his plan through these unseen powers and armies, and he still has the whole world in the palm of his hand. And he's promising more. And many of those who are asleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will be delivered from all of this and rise to something more. Those who are wise are not troubled, even in the face of death. Those who are wise are not troubled by death, but are fully expecting that they will awaken one day to something holy and completely new. They are not afraid because they know that they will awake to a whole new life, a whole new body. Do you know sometimes we as Christians, we stop short of the whole promise. We see our loved ones die. We talk about grandma being in heaven, and she surely is, and all of the wonders and the glories of being there, being safe, being in the paradise as Jesus promised to the dying thief on the cross. That is all true, but that's only half of the story. There is still a whole lot more to come. We are expecting to awaken to a whole new life together with our Lord Jesus on that last day. And we don't know what that life will be. We heard that a couple of weeks ago. We have no idea what that will be like. We can't hardly even imagine what it is going to be like, but we know that we'll be like him, holy and complete, like he intended us to be, a whole new life and a whole new world. In this season of thanks, that is my greatest joy and source of thanksgiving. That as a Christian, I have that to look forward to. That I look forward not to more of the same, but that we together are looking forward to more than what we could ever imagine. That expectation is the expectation that really helps me to hold all the rest of the stuff that is going on around me in its proper perspective. That they are the result of sin. That they are the result of a brokenness that has come to God's good and perfect creation. But it is a brokenness that God has already overcome in His Son Jesus. A brokenness that has been overcome by God's plan in Jesus that has purpose, that is being unfolded in Christ, who carried all of that sin and all of that brokenness and all of that pain and all of the chaos of the world. He took it to the cross and He rose again in victory over all of it. That we might as well. That we might rise, but not to this. Who wants more of this? It will be a whole new world, a whole new life, where all that is wrong is right, and where everything that is dead is given life. But those who are wise not only know that they will be delivered from all of this and that they have so much more to come, those who are wise also for now do more. Do more than just simply sit still and look ahead. But instead, those who are wise live out this life serving and sharing. What does Daniel say? He says that those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the sky. Those who are wise will turn many to righteousness. My friends, in the next few days, we will be giving praise and thanksgiving to our God, and He surely deserves it for all of the gifts that He gives to us, especially these great ones. But my friends, it's not enough just simply to offer your glad hands and to sing a few songs. It's not enough. It's not enough. Our thanksgiving spills over. Our thanksgiving leaks out. Our thanksgiving is highlighted by a whole new way of living. Living in love and serving with joy and willingly giving and unhampered. We give and we serve and we offer and we rejoice unhampered by the cares and the worries of life. Not because we have anything to gain, not because we have to, but because we get to. Our lives spill over with joy and thanksgiving because He has already given us everything that we need and more. So what do we hear today? But to stir up one another to do the same. That we live to encourage each other. That we live out a life of thanksgiving. Not just thanksgiving, but thanks living, untroubled and unafraid, because we can know exactly how it's going to end. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please take out the white card. If you would fill it out so we have a record of your being here today. And as you do, please turn it over and we pray together the call to Christian fellowship on the back. Dear Father in heaven, we have gathered together in Christian fellowship to worship You. We have confessed our sins and we thank You for Your forgiveness. We've sung praises to You and listened to Your holy word. Help us now to return to our homes and families filled with Your Holy Spirit. Give us the courage to love others as You love us. By our words and actions, make us Your witnesses here on earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We gather our gifts for the Savior.